Now, in the course of its development in India, in Asia, Buddhism developed, among other things, a very beautiful, a very wonderful, a very glorious art, of which many monuments still remain. Developed architecture, painting, sculpture, and so on. And in Indian Buddhist art, the Bodhisattva is usually represented as a very beautiful young man with a graceful figure, with long flowing locks, and with many beautiful ornaments. And he usually is represented standing or sitting on a beautiful white or pink or red lotus flower. The Arahant, on the other hand, is usually represented as an elderly man, not to say as an old man, and he usually has a bald head and big bushy eyebrows, and he doesn't wear any ornaments at all. He's usually clad in a very shabby, patched old monastic robe, and he leans rather wearily on a knotty staff. He doesn't sit on a lotus flower of any colour. He usually stands or sits on the solid rock, though sometimes he's represented as floating for a change on the waves of the ocean. So we can say that here, in Indian Buddhist art, the Bodhisattva, or the figure of the Bodhisattva, represents the ideal in all its perfection, in all its purity, the ideal itself. If you like, the abstract ideal, not touched, not stained by anything of the world, lifted up above the world, as it were. And perhaps one can also say that the Arahant represents the realization of the ideal under conditions, under limitations, under conditions of space and time and historical stress. So no wonder the Arahant, as depicted, especially in Chinese art, often has a battered, a weather-beaten, and a worn look. We might even go a bit further afield, draw an interesting parallel. We may say that we can find the same sort of pictorial contrast in the West in the case of Christian art. Just as in Indian Buddhist art and Chinese Buddhist art, you've got this contrast between the figure of the Bodhisattva and the figure of the Arahant. In Christian art, you've got the same sort of contrast, or a similar contrast, between the angels and the saints. And the angels and the saints are very often depicted together in one and the same picture. The angels, as we know very well, are usually represented as sleek, graceful, well-groomed young men with long, curly hair and wings. And they have, as we know, very sweet, innocent expressions. And it's clear that they've never sinned. They don't even know what sin is. They're as innocent as that. And very often, in these pictures, they play on beautiful musical instruments. The saints, on the other hand, are usually old and rather ugly. Or at least, if not ugly, they're rather wrinkled and rather worn, and they certainly know what sin is, even if they have succeeded, after many struggles, in overcoming it, or at least holding it down. And of course the saints, unlike the angels, have suffered. Well, they're usually being, in these paintings, either crucified upside down, or beheaded, or shot full of arrows, or skinned alive, or roasted on a gridiron, and so on. So perhaps the same sort of contrast is suggested here. On the one hand, the archetypal, the ideal. On the other, the realization of the ideal under the concrete conditions of human historical existence.